people now trust them more, because when you close deal and give out every document that you're supposed to give on time, so people trust, tend to trust you more. And again, they're also giving back power to the people who are buying this property.
Welcome to The Next Frontier. I'm Nicole Dunn, co-founder and COO at a venture-backed African startup. I'm a VC investor turned startup operator, passionate about unlocking untapped entrepreneurial potential in Africa.
And I am Brian Carney, a three-time entrepreneur, nonprofit founder, and angel investor based in the U.S. I am excited about connecting capital to entrepreneurs solving the world's toughest problems.
Join us as we change the narrative on startup investing in emerging markets and help bring the yearly African VC inflows to $20 billion.
Thank you for joining the show today. We're excited to dive a little bit into your journey as an entrepreneur into House Africa and the specific problem you're solving, which is really cool. It'll also be really cool to dive into the technology you're using to solve it, because that is not as common, and that'll be a really fun conversation. But first, I guess the question really is, tell us a little bit about yourself and your journey into deciding to be an entrepreneur. It's not a typical journey. It's not a safe journey. And I'd love to learn a little bit about why you decided to make that journey.
Entrepreneurship has been what I wanted to do, like from time, even when I was in the university. I did a lot of business trying to support to what my parents was giving to me in the school. I read information technology, by the way. While in school, I know that I really want to be involved in the tech environment. But I don't know how. But we wanted to come up then work for most of the tech companies like MTN, work with MTN and then and other tech companies. So initially, I wanted to read electrical engineering. But inside the electrical engineering, I would do communication technology. But on the process of getting admission, I saw information management technology. So I felt it was like a straightforward. So I don't have to go through the electrical engineering to get that. So I just changed my course to information management technology. That was how I read IT. So finishing school, I already know that I'm going forward with the technology part, because in this university, I started learning about computer. In fact, I learned about computer before getting admission. I started even teaching computer before I get admission into the university. So going into the school, it was a little bit easier for me to follow up with what is going on. And then after the university, there's something we do in Nigeria here, we call it National Youth Corps, where you can go and serve the government in the form of a paramilitary uniform. So we do it about 1 year. But while I was doing that, I was also looking for a job, because I know coming out from that service is going to take us a little while. So I was able to get a job in an MTN trade partner company. So I think that was in 2012, 2013. And that was also when mobile money started coming out in Africa. So it was an interesting journey for me to start learning how these things work and how we can be able to solve problems using technology. So in 2016, I resigned. Before I resigned, actually, my friend from the university also joined the company, and that was how we were able to meet. So we met in that company again, and both of us now resigned to start a cryptocurrency exchange platform called BitPayer in 2017. That was during the time of the ICO and all that. So we made some cool cash, and we invested in the real estate. And after those investments, we found out that the land he purchased was not his own. And that was how we started thinking. Since we're in the blockchain space, and we know that blockchain can actually help in building an immutable system for transparent and a trusted land transaction system. And that was how we pivoted from the BitPayer and started building House Africa, so that we can be able to solve real estate problems.
a lot of our audience is sitting in other parts of the world where I don't think they naturally think of Africa and cryptocurrency in the same thematic buckets. Being on the continent and seeing the growing usage and adoption and excitement around cryptocurrency and the use cases it can enable, there's huge scope for the technology to make a difference. So what was it in 2016, which is relatively early in the mainstream adoption of crypto? What prompted you to start that company? What was the opportunity you saw?
Yeah, the opportunity we saw was that we want to make a difference. Like my guy has already lost a land worth $18,000. So we are looking for a solution. How can we be able to make land transactions transparent so that I can know who owns before I buy, or I can verify it properly before I buy? Because mostly in Nigeria here, over 95% of land here are contestable, and you cannot verify who owns. Like most times, banks are not even taking it as loan collateral because there's no way you can verify it. We don't have a modern land registry systems. Okay, so everything is still on paper and not updated frequently. We started looking for a way that we can make these transactions more transparent.
The 95% is contestable. It's kind of an insane statistic if you really think about it. It's a good market for a startup, but it's also a huge problem you can solve. I guess my question is, when you are looking at that, how can you actually solve the problem with blockchain? Because I imagine you also have to bring in someone on the government side and someone on the private side. What does that look like? What does the actual business model look like?
In our journey, we wanted to start getting the government on board quickly. We got some partnerships. Our partner with Nigerian Mortgage Refinance Company, who are also PPP, like that's a private government organization. So we wanted to see how we can bring in the land registries and the ecosystem together. But, you know, working with the government, the processes, the bureaucracies involved takes a whole lot of time. It's not something that will just happen immediately. I mean, it doesn't just work suit well for a young startup, you understand, that is just starting, which made us to stay very long. We started working on this in 2019, and 2020 that was supposed to launch, COVID-19 started. So we couldn't close some of the gaps that we had before we can go live. And we couldn't get hold with the government anymore because everybody is no longer working from the, everybody is not in the office. So we spent the whole 2020, didn't get things done. Okay, so then in 2021, we started thinking, we can actually do this from the private sector, pending when the government sector is ready. At least with the traction on the private sector, the government can be able to listen to us faster. So we converted our platform to become a SaaS tool that we give out to the real estate companies who are selling land. For example, let me give you a context of what they are doing. So these real estate companies go to villages or communities closer to urban areas. So they buy big, very large expanse of land, maybe 100 hectares or 50 hectares. Then they will divide it into parcels or plots. So some plots can be 600 square meters, some can be 450 square meters, some 350 square meters, provided that you can enter a home. Okay, so they divide it into this parcel, which of course can also be a real estate organization in the traditional sense. They divide these things and they start selling this land. Okay, so people now acquire the individual slots and then get this thing. So since they'll have most of this document done, and it's also on paper, so we started giving this real estate company our solution to be able to use to manage the land records of all the lands that they are selling, helping them to also make it, helping them to close their processes in a digital manner and not losing, because they are still going to have the same challenge the paper land registry is going to have, which is duplicate allocation, not able to allocate the property on time. That's why they are having people staying like 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years before they get allocated, or until they start crying on the social media that they bought land that it wasn't allocated before they can get allocated. So we found that we can give them these solutions and they can use it to solve their problems, and which we have done throughout last year. We launched this last year, and currently now we have about 116 real estate companies using this solution. And as we have seen how they are using it, so our goal now is to bring it to the masses and start telling them, now, if you want to buy land, if you want to buy real estate, you don't have to stress yourself. You can use Sitemap or use Sitemap from our partner real estate companies using this solution, which can help us to incentivize the product and tell people that when you use Sitemap, you can get your land allocated to you in minutes. That's about 20 minutes. You get your land allocated to you. You get your, you can verify the location of the land because we are using a 3D satellite imagery. So you can stay in the comfort of your home and visualize that site without wasting your time visiting sites, different sites, and come back without anything. So you can stay in the comfort of your home, verify the location of the estate project or the land project. Then you can also generate your offer letter from Sitemap. And when you make payment, you get your land and the coordinates sent to you. Instantly, your payment is confirmed. That way, we've been able to make it easier for everyone, the person owning the land and the person managing the land, to be able to have the record recorded on the blockchain and a place that they can easily verify that. Through, I sell this plot of land to this person.
It's an amazing story, and I think it really highlights how the challenges in African markets are really both challenges and opportunities. You spoke about essentially a failure of centralized institutions, the difficulty of working with governments, and how the systems are really inefficient today. And that was a challenge for you to get this system adopted by government, but it's also the reason that your business exists, right? And I think why the opportunity for these decentralized models and decentralized technologies are so interesting in Africa. But I guess the property market locally is very different to other parts in the world. And I think investors listening in may be skeptical around things like market size and purchasing power in markets like Nigeria, where property and land ownership hasn't historically been widespread for many various reasons. So I'm wondering what you've seen in consumer behavior as some sort of trends around property ownership. And as there's the sort of growing middle class in African markets, why is land and property ownership such a critically important part of where people are going to spend those growing incomes?
Okay, so from the consumers, we did a report actually that we are going to launch this week. We called it the seven insights that can help a real estate understand the market. So seven insights that we got from the consumer perspective. One thing we understood is, one, there is still fear of being scammed. In fact, we spoke to about 100 people, and 80% of these 100 people has either been scammed or know someone that has been scammed. In Lagos, the data I got also from a company called Omonile Lawyer. So you see that in Lagos alone, Lagos and Ogun State is like a neighboring state to Lagos. In these two areas, there is 500,000 land scams that happens in these two locations every year. So it's huge, which means people are willing to 500,000. So if people are willing to really buy lands and 500,000 are being scammed every year, then there is a huge market. But people are applying it wrongly, and that is why they get scammed. So then another one is, because people are scared, we now saw that the only people reinvesting, the only people investing in the real estate are the people that has taken that first risk in acquiring one and it went successful. They are the ones that comes back for the second one, not a new person. So usually the people that has already purchased that are also the people that repurchase again in a new, maybe in a new project or something. Then another thing we also saw that there is a huge inflow of remittance coming from Nigerian diaspora. That's about $20 billion. And 27% of these funds are going to the real estate. Okay, so which is about $3.5 billion comes to the real estate investment. And that also constitutes to 80% of people buying lands in Nigeria actually people in diaspora. So they keep sending either one of their family or they send one of their friends to help them verify before they buy. Okay, so, but with our system, they can stay anywhere they are and do it by themselves. They don't even need to involve anyone and they still get what they are looking for.
The question I have that I could see a Western investor having is, well, you say there's 500,000 people are scammed a year. That's an interesting statistic. What due diligence do you put in place to ensure that the person listing the land on your platform actually does own the land? If you said 95% is contestable, does that mean right now you can only reach the 5% that isn't contestable? Or do you have a process set up to ensure that land actually is what the person listing it says it is?
Okay, so one of the most important due diligence to be done in Nigeria before you get a land lease is that land under government acquisition. Because most of these land do not have title, okay? So most times we need to go and check if it is under government acquisition. Once it's under government acquisition, so be it 20 years later, be it 30 years or 5 years later, government is still coming back for that land and they're going to take it. So whatever structure that is built on that land will be demolished. So, because, and again, because the law states that whether you have your title, the land still belongs to government. You're actually leasing it for 99 years. So we make sure that all the lands the real estate companies are using on our platform, we verify that they are not under government acquisition. And other transactions from how they bought it are completed. So how we do that is, because our system requires them to get a survey plan and the layout plan of that project. And before you can get these two things, you must have at least done all the due diligence or all the processes of that land. So it makes it easier for us to do the remaining verification. So we make sure that those land are free from government acquisition, because every day government is demolishing houses of people in Nigeria because they are built on land, on government land, and government can take it away.
I'm curious, how is your business model structured? Are you charging a platform fee for the service? Do you have some sort of variable upside in the land that's being sold on your platform?
When I started, we were giving the real estate companies this solution. And because of the way they work, so we give it to them as a software, as a service, that's SaaS, and as also a white label solution. So we install Sitemap for them in their various web server while they run it as if it's their own, with their brand colors and everything, so that they can feel, they can have that sense of belonging. We charge them a setup fee for every setup that we do. We charge them a setup fee. Then for every transaction that passed through the platform, we also charge them a transaction fee of 0.7% of that transaction. Then, as we are now started from next week to talk to individual buyers on the importance of using Sitemap. So we want to also route sales from our system to theirs, where we'll be standing as a platform where people can come and do their land transaction. That one can also fetch us a commission for every sale, which is up to 10%.
That's really interesting. So you've got a nice composite business model with some recurring revenue and some variable upside. From a product usage perspective, what are the property agents telling you they value most about the software? Is it they're able to make more sales because people trust the platform and you're bringing that trust to the market? Is it an efficiency play? What do they really value about the software?
Okay, one of the things they love about the software is now they can close their deals faster. For example, people now trust them more because when you close deal and give out every document that you're supposed to give on time, so people tend to trust you more. And again, they're also giving back power to the people who are buying this property. Before Sitemap, what they do is you have to make payment first, then they will send you a paper layout and ask you to choose a plot. Or sometimes they choose the plot for you by yourself. But with Sitemap now, when you send them a Sitemap link of that project, they can see the ones available, the plots that are available, the ones that has already been sold. Then you as a buyer make your choice by yourself and they can generate offer letter for you from the system, or you generate it by yourself and make payment. And when you make payment, you see that your plot automatically marks sold. Our marking sold is it changed color to red. Okay, so that way you are more convenient. You get emails, get notification, get receipts, everything on your email. So it gives you that sense of confidence that, yes, I actually did a business transaction. So unlike before, when you just make payment, you can wait for 2 days before you get the receipt. You wait for another 1 month before you get your document and all that. But the system generates what we call digital certificate of allocation, which is powered by NFT and QR code. So that way you have something that you are holding on when the legal department is preparing your titles and all that. But you have something that you are holding on to that at least shows that you bought something from someone.
Yeah. I like that a lot. What is the current usage looked like? Have you signed on quite a few customers? Is this something that's growing pretty quickly?
Okay, accumulatively, the real estate companies have been able to allocate 2,000 plus lands on the platform. We're worth about $3 million currently on the platform. And if you look at it from the square meters of the land, it's about 13 million square meters of land that has been digitized and allocated on the platform.
That's amazing initial traction. Congratulations. I'm curious, when you think about scale, what are going to be those one or two levers that really unlock scale for your business? Is it getting that buy-in from government that you spoke about earlier? Is it finding new use cases, new markets? Where do you see the pathway to becoming a multi-million dollar business?
Yeah, one is partnering with the government, which we have already started. I think we have three governments already that we're closing a conversation with right now. I might not mention them now because the deal has not been closed, but it's already like at let's say 90% close. Okay. And once we get this deal closed, it's going to give the buyers more confidence. And of course, it's going to grow the platform exponential. Then before expansion. So if we can close deals, if we can close this partnership with the government, expansion to other government or other jurisdictions becomes easier, because we already have something stronger that we can use to expand.
And just on expansion, one of the pieces of feedback I often get when talking to founders within markets like Nigeria is we talk about African markets being small and fragmented, right? So you've got many, many people, but you've got 54 different countries today, still quite fragmented in terms of regulation, currency, standards across different industries. But then sometimes within countries, that's also true. Just because you've got traction in Lagos doesn't mean that you can get traction in Abuja and, you know, slightly more remote parts of the country. Do you see your kind of business model being relatively easily scaled into other regions? Are these agents you're working with typically operating in multiple states in Nigeria? Or is that a barrier to you getting sort of accelerated adoption of the platform?
Well, we're already in five states in Nigeria. So it's not just only Lagos right now. We are in Lagos, we are in Abuja,
amazing.
We are in Port Harcourt, we are in Oka, we are in Asaba, and we are in Enugu.
What do you see as what you really need to get to that next level? Right now, is it that government partnership and maybe a couple key private partnerships? Or is it the funding, the finding enough people to work? Is it finding realtors? What is kind of that next real thing you need to hit escape velocity?
I can say we need three things right now, but they're actually interconnected somehow. Okay. For example, even if I get the government, I still need maybe resources and funding to manage maybe the traction is going to bring. So even if I get funding, I still need to get the government, you understand, so I can be able to push what I want to push. And I also need to talk to the buyer. So what we are doing right now is we are choosing the easiest one or the one we can control right now, which is talking to the buyers. Okay, so talking to the buyers, we can control that because we can give them reasons why they should use SiteMap. And of course, they're going to. So we are starting from that from next week, where we launch campaigns on telling people the importance of the real estate, the real estate scams and how SiteMap can help them navigate those issues. Because we understand that even right now, most of these real estate companies are not selling these properties using this scam. They are selling it using return of investment. And if you buy today, it's going to rise tomorrow and all that. But we understand that they are talking to people that has already purchased before and they want to purchase. But you want to focus on those people who has this money. You understand? Who wants to buy, but they are scared. And these numbers are much because we did our research. And this like a survey, about 100 people responded. And inside that 100 people, 80%, we are talking about how scared they are in terms of buying properties. So if you talk to those people, we can be able to close more sales and more deals for them. So that way we can control that and we can grow our attractions in terms of transaction volumes while we use that to get the government and funding also.
That's really interesting. It sounds like you've really found that initial wedge or sort of immediate market that you can tap into as your early adopters before tackling, as you've explained, a much bigger total addressable market. I'm curious, how are you thinking about fundraising? You mentioned capital resources is important. Are you looking at local angel investors, local accelerators, venture firms, looking internationally? How are you thinking about that?
Yeah, of course, we registered in Delaware. So, of course, we are looking for international funding, whether it's coming from local or international, especially people who understand real estate. We don't want to work with everyone. You understand? We want to work with people who understand real estate or people who believe that this is a real problem that needs to be solved. And that's the kind of people that we want to work with value and not just money, because money, of course, is fine. But we want people that can mentor us, give us access to networks that can help us, you understand, go to the next level.
I have a couple of questions about what your first company. Tell me a little bit about BitPaya and how all of that worked.
BitPaya was just was a cryptocurrency exchange platform. Although we didn't put it that way, we just put it in a remittance platform so that we can be able to not get issues with the regulatory bodies in Nigeria. It was working pretty well. Before we shut it down, we had about 2,000 registration, 2,000 active users that was actually doing a 2 to 3 Bitcoin transaction on a daily basis. So why we shut it down was not because we are not passionate about it, but we wanted to really solve a new problem. And that was why we said, okay, fine, let's not have two products running together. If what I know today, I know it, I wouldn't have shut it down. You understand? But then we wanted to like be focused and then solve one problem at a time.
Yeah, that's always the benefit of hindsight, right? I heard you mention the word passion there, and entrepreneurship is hard, right? Especially in the markets you're operating in, that we're operating in. What's your personal connection to this problem, if any? Why do you personally really care about solving this problem?
One is because my co-founder, who is my friend, lost his property, and I don't want to be like him. And both of us, him too, we don't want other people to be like us. And I'm also one of the people who has been scared about buying land. Because even when he bought, I said I'm not buying, you understand? Because I'm still scared of how I'm going to buy. So, and I, so real estate is something I love so much, okay? And I've not been able to have that strong mind, you understand, to invest in any land. But I want to really do that. And I believe with Sitemap, I can be able to start doing it easily without stressing myself again. Because I have my own app and I see my lands. I can monitor my land from anywhere I am in the world.
That makes a lot of sense. Kind of solving your own problem is the best way to build a startup. What risks do you see now that you're trying to mitigate for that could be coming down the pipeline?
There are a lot of business risks right now. One is some of the real estate companies that we're working with right now, we started noticing that the survey plans that they did are not done properly. So the lands, the actual position where it's supposed to be on the satellite image, it's not the exact position. We have seen some that we are a little bit far from giving the exact position. So if we are not careful enough, we might still give people wrong information. So which is one of the due diligence that we do right now to make sure that we make sure work with their own surveyors to make sure that these lands are at the exact position where it's supposed to be on the earth. Another risk that is also involved is government risk, maybe regulatory risk, you know, as Nigeria is. So things can change at any moment of time, or any government can come in and bring a new law and a new way things can be done. So that is one of the risks. And of course, also, another risk that we also associated with is inflation risk and the Naira currency devaluation also, which affects a lot of things in Nigeria. Like, for example, as of June, Naira to dollar was 500 and something Naira. But today, as I'm speaking to you, is 1,500. So it has grown 3 times. Naira has fallen 200%. within 8 months. So that's also one of the risks that we are so much scared about. But of course, we don't have to keep pushing and see that we get things done. We solve the problem first.
Absolutely. And I'm always amazed and in awe of the resilience of local entrepreneurs. And we've had a few conversations recently with investors who've invested both locally and abroad and said just the caliber of entrepreneurs in African markets is world class because of the degree of difficulty that you're coming up against. You know, if there are levels to the entrepreneurship game in Africa, we're playing on the hardest mode. What would you say, Namdi, to an investor that says, look, hyperinflation, depreciation of currency, political risk, you know, risk seems greater than the reward. Why is the opportunity still compelling in your mind?
Okay. Why Africa is still the best place to invest is the returns are usually higher. Okay. In as much as it has a higher risk, it also has a higher return. Okay. And it also has a huge cash flow. So most times what you make in Africa can be, with all the inflections involved and every other difficulties, you're still making good amount of money after some days, after some years of that investment. That's one thing about investing in Africa. So, and again, Africa is also a place where everything is still at the virgin level. You understand, where they are still, they have not even been scratched, even on the financial part, on the technology part, everything is still at the basic level. And this is always the right time to enter those kind of markets so that you can make a huge amount of money as a return in the years coming.
That's part of what Nicole and I are trying to really show to Western investors, that if you look at modern portfolio theory and you don't have money invested in Africa, it's hard to say you're actually following modern portfolio theory.
Exactly.
It's been great to learn a little bit about what you're building, the opportunity, and the specific technology you're using to fix that opportunity. What else do you really want our audience to hear?
I'll tell them to be excited that one of the African biggest challenge, which is fear in acquiring land, is about to get solved by Sidemap. They should anticipate and be excited about what is coming up there. We're about to make it easy, faster, and scam-free for people to own their land from anywhere they are in the world.
Thank you for the time today. This has been a great conversation. It'll be really exciting to keep watching House Africa, see where you go. This is an awesome product. It solves a real problem, and it has a large potential market. That's the exact type of product that entrepreneurs need to tackle. That's it for today. Do you want to learn more about investment opportunities in Africa?
Go to nextfrontierpod.com for more episodes, new insights, and the latest trends in the African startup world.